morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning, and I know we're going to receive a blessing from the Lord as we worship today, because you know what? I got up this morning, and I asked God if he was still on the throne, and you know what he said? Here I am. You know, I'm just going to address the elephant in the room just for this long. Regardless of what you've thought over the last 4 years, and regardless of what you hope or fear over the next 4 years, God's still on the throne. I'm not saying elections don't have consequences, but guess what? Because God is still on the throne, we can deal with them. Because God is still on the throne, we can have victory. Because God is still on the throne, regardless of how stupid we may think government may be, we can be people of joy, we can be people of encouragement, we can be people of victory. So however the election went for you this past week, don't look at that. We call it a God thing sometimes. Did you look at the front of your bulletin? Focus your hearts on the Lord, the God of Israel. So God is still on the throne.
I'm just glad Trump doesn't have to face those Democrats for 4 more years.
Perhaps so.
I think he's
perhaps so. But either way, I'm so thankful that I'm not worried about government. I vote, and now I'm looking to God. Always have, always will. So this morning, let us gather after announcements and worship the God who is still there, who is with us each and every step of the way in life. As we do look at announcements this morning after sermon number one, the flowers of the sanctuary are given by Dell and Janelle Ward to the glory of God and in celebration of Bill Ward's 101st birthday. So our congratulations. Today. Today is Bill's 101st birthday. So our congratulations to Bill and all of the family, and hope this day is indeed a day of celebration. Looking at some announcements, please note, I've asked that you let us know. Not everyone in the church received the email, and I know not everyone in the church has email, hence the bulletin. Please let me know, either through the church office or through email, if you plan to be here on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, or if you don't, either way, because that will determine how many services we have that morning. So, you know, if we have enough folks that say that say you're going to be here, we'll have both services. But if we have a few from each service, then we'll combine and have one service. So let me know either way. I'm flexible. We'll go with whichever way the numbers show. So please let me know either by my email or by contacting the church office by Friday if you are going to be here or if you are not going to be here, just so we know how to plan. Please note, once again, we're having the toy drive for the Green County Christmas Stocking Fund. The toys are needed by December 14th, and so I hope you feel led to support that. And then also, we're supporting the Green County Food Pantry items for the Thanksgiving distribution. The items needed are printed in your bulletin. Janelle, do they tell us about what date they need that?
Monday before Thanksgiving.
So still have a couple of weeks to respond to that if you feel so led. Are there any announcements we should make this morning that were not made? If not, it is a joy that the Lord has called us together, so let us gather now and worship His most holy name.
Before
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed you are here with us. We thank you that you invited us into your presence. We do not have to implore you to be in ours. So as we have gathered in your presence, we open our hearts, our minds, and our souls, praying that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and that we would receive that which you would communicate to us. As we proceed, we pray this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany this morning is a prayer for guidance and also a prayer of dedication, asking that Jesus be with us and acknowledging that he is indeed with us. So let's join. O Jesus, I have promised. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend.
I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide.
Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still. I dare not trust my judgment. Thy way shall be my will.
Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and help me listen, thou guardian of my soul.
O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be.
And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end.
O give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
As we share joys and concerns and go to the Lord in prayer, are there joys or concerns that should be voiced this morning? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that you woke us up this morning. Thank you that you invited us into your presence to worship your most holy name. And gracious Lord, thank you that regardless of what happens in life, you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And so, Lord, we praise your most holy name this morning that indeed you are faithful. We praise your most holy name that we are able to be your servants. For gracious Lord, we thank you that we know that we are marching to Zion. We are on our way to heaven because of the grace that you lavished upon us. We praise your name that you can take us human beings with all of our faults, with all of our weaknesses, and you can use us for eternal purposes. So may we praise your name this day, and may praise and worship be the way of our life, the way of our attitudes. We praise you and thank you this morning. And it's in the knowledge of your faithfulness that we do bring before you our concerns this morning. And gracious Lord, we do pray for our nation. For sadly, but perhaps nothing new if we really look at history, it's just a little more in our face right now. We are divided. And Lord, you know, we have our principles. And we're not called to abandon those principles. But yet, Lord, in the midst of all of it, you did call us to love each other. And you even called us to love those whom we consider our enemies. And so, Lord, as we move forward, we pray that as far as it depends on us, we may live at peace with our neighbors, even with those neighbors that we completely disagree with. As far as it depends on us, Lord, may your people who call upon the name of Jesus be instruments of your love and your peace. Lord, it's in the confidence of your love for us and your grace lavished upon us that we remind you of names that you already know, situations that you already know, both printed and upon our hearts. The illnesses and the circumstances range from life-threatening to prolonged discomfort to relational issues. But gracious Lord, you're able to heal them all. And so we pray your healing touch upon every physical illness, every emotional illness, every relational illness, every spiritual illness, that all persons may be made whole. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom that is ours as American citizens. And part of that freedom, a major part of that freedom, is being able to be in this place to worship you. We pray that we never forget those who stand in the gap between us and those who would take that freedom away. We pray your protection upon those who protect us, both in the military and civilian roles. We pray your healing upon the wounded, the visible wounds of the body and the invisible wounds of the heart, mind, and soul. And we pray your peace upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And Lord, we do thank you for the fellowship of Christians that gathers, that worships, that serves, that encourages, that loves through Walker Church. We pray that we each would grow closer to you and closer to one another and therefore more able to be your instrument. And remind us when we leave this building and we leave these grounds that through your Holy Spirit you will be with us in every step and breath of life. And lead us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
invite you to stand as we offer our praise and thanks to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Be seated.
And let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you have lavished your love and gifts upon us. So your people now bring back a portion of the financial gifts that you bestowed to us. We just pray that your blessings will continue upon each gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny entrusted will be used according to your will, furthering your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture lesson is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage is not difficult to interpret. It concerns the return of Christ and whether one is or is not ready for that event. Now, two common themes of all approaches to the anticipation of the return of Christ are that the biblical writers saw Jesus not yet having returned as a delay. They had expected him to already have been back, so him not being back yet was a delay. And when Jesus does return, it is going to be a tremendous surprise for everyone. If one is ready, it's going to be a pleasant surprise, and thus a celebration. For those who are not ready, it's going to be a surprise of sadness and regret. Now, today Christians tend to view the return of Christ from a number of perspectives. Now, keep in mind, please, keep in mind, as I list these, I am not making any judgment calls. All of these perspectives are followed by genuine Christians. Some are constantly watching for signs that Christ is about to return. These signs are seen in world events such as wars, particularly in certain locations of the world, economic situations, the lack of morality in society and government, the falling away of so many from the church, as well as the frequency of natural disasters. To be honest, some just basically ignore it. Well, there's no basically to it. They just ignore it. Though this person may not think it consciously, there is a belief that since Jesus has not returned in over 2,000 years, maybe he's not actually going to return. There will be a judgment in this person's mind. It's not that they don't think there's ever going to be a judgment. It's just that they see the judgment as upon a person's death, and they don't anticipate a big judgment at the return of Christ. Matthew tends to lean toward faithfulness in the long term determines if one's ready for Christ's return. And this is the perspective of the 10 bridesmaids in our scripture lesson. See, one issue in the parable reveals that those who are ready and those who are not is not always obvious. When you look at the parable, both groups of bridesmaids are anticipating the arrival of the groom. Both anticipate a return. Both groups bring lamps. Both groups fall asleep. In other words, as the night begins and as it's progressing, the difference between the two groups is not apparent. All 10 appeared the same until the groom arrived. The groom's arrival was expected, but the time of his arrival was not announced. The bridesmaids that were ready were filled with joy and gladness. The others were caught off guard and found themselves locked out of the celebration. The bridesmaids who brought the extra oil were the ones that were ready. Now, in Jewish tradition, oil is often representative of good deeds. Now, again, we emphasize that we do not work our way into heaven. Our entrance into heaven is our acceptance of the message and forgiveness of Jesus and the surrender of our lives to Him. That relationship results in acts of Christian love. Remember James' proclamation in James 2:17, faith without works is dead. To paraphrase both James in the Bible and John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, both of them said, if you tell me you're a Christian, what I do is I look at your life, I look at your works, and your works are the evidence of your faith. When the love of Jesus enters our hearts, we are motivated to serve Jesus by serving others out of love for others. And the service just becomes who we are. You remember another parable in Matthew, the sheep and the goats. Those who had served Jesus didn't even realize they had. Remember that parable? The sheep said, Lord, when did we serve you? And Jesus goes on to tell them. The goats, Lord, when did we not serve you? And Jesus goes on to tell them. And the bottom line is, those who had served Jesus and did not realize it had done so as they simply served other people as the need and opportunity presented itself. It was just who they were. Because they were Christians, that's just who they were. They didn't think about it. They saw a need. They addressed the need. It wasn't some big theological discussion in their head. They loved Jesus. Jesus was in their heart. The love of Jesus was in their heart. So they responded to needs as they came across them. Didn't think anything about it. Those who had not had either not noticed, ignored, or refused to serve when the need arose and the opportunity presented itself. To serve others, particularly those in need, is to serve Jesus. It is keeping oil in our lamp. Now, the one with the oil in their lamp, or one among the sheep, may surprise us. Stuart Briscoe is an evangelical author, and in his active years, he was a pastor who led a 300-member church to being one of the largest churches in America. He writes that he was invited to speak in Chicago, so he and his wife, being prudent, they knew they didn't know their way around Chicago, so they gave themselves plenty of time to find their way. So now he noticed as he's approaching Chicago that he's running low on gas. And I would have made the same mistake he did. He thought, well, no big deal. There'll be plenty of gas stations along the way, particularly as we're entering the city. Well, none that were in sight. And so he ran out of gas. To make matters worse, the car stalled in the fast lane. To make matters worse, it was raining. To make matters worse, it was rush hour. So Briscoe got out of his car to be met by numerous verbal expressions of displeasure from other drivers. Then an old rusty work truck pulled up next to him. And tell you how old the truck was. Said he rolled down the window. And so Briscoe braced himself for a point-blank, in-your-face verbal assault. He was relieved that his fear did not occur, though he couldn't understand the broken English of the driver, and then the truck drove away. About 15 minutes later, the rusty old work truck returned. The driver had gotten off of the expressway, borrowed a gas can, gotten gas, re-entered the traffic, and returned to rescue the Briscoes. To quote Briscoe, "When I tried to thank him, he shrugged and said, 'You look kind of new around here. Me, I just come from Puerto Rico Friday. Ain't nobody do nothing for nobody in this city.' And with that, he was gone." In a parenthetical lesson from Briscoe's encounter, as Jesus taught, serving him, having oil in our lamps, being a sheep, is not necessarily going to change the world. I heard a quote one time said, "Everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to help mama do the dishes." Serving Jesus is not always going to change the world. But this encounter changed the Briscoes' world in a tremendous way in that moment, did it not? Being ready for Jesus' return in this parable and in the parable of the sheep and the goats is about helping when and where we can, which follows naturally from who we are because of the love of Jesus filling our hearts. In many ways, in many of Jesus' parables, the bridesmaids included, the return of Christ is depicted as a party. Bad thing about this party is, though, some people that thought they were going to be there get shut out. And the sad thing is, they're shut out because they shut themselves out. Jesus invites everyone to the party. Whether or not we join the party will depend on if we're ready when Jesus suddenly surprises us all. Sadly, the way the parables are presented, many who thought they would be in the party are not. Why? Well, we can't exhaust it this morning, but I want to focus on one. Through various reasons, their spiritual senses were dulled. In one way, our spiritual senses become dulled is when we miss the gathering of the church. Now, particularly for those who will be listening online, of course, in this moment, we're in unique circumstances. Of course, in this present time, it is not safe for some folks to be in larger groups, and others aren't comfortable to do so. But we will get beyond COVID-19, hopefully sooner than later. But we will get beyond this. And when we do get beyond this, it will be important that we come back together and we regroup in more ways than one. Of course, the service can be heard online, and we thank God for the technology to make it available. But when we gather, we encourage each other and we motivate each other. Remember John 20, 24, and 25? It's Easter evening. Jesus visits the disciples for whatever reason. Thomas missed church. So when he arrives and he's told that Jesus is alive, he does not believe it. Then in verses 26 to 29, Thomas is present with the gathered community. He encounters the risen Christ, and thus he believes. When we gather for worship and study, we are reminded of who God is. Now, it may sound strange to some folks to assert that we Christians need to be reminded of God's identity. But I do. I imagine most of us do. Because we all have to deal with life. We all have to deal with the issues that confront us in life. Both from, you know, all the way from the world stage to our individual situations. We all have to deal with life. And sometimes life can be stressful. And it's easy to unintentionally put those things that we have to deal with, it's easy to unintentionally put them on the front burner. Now, I told Sally this week, we worked it through. But she wanted to kind of discuss some of the way the race was progressing. I said, I don't want to hear it. And I finally had a light bulb moment. You know what that light bulb moment was? As long as I was focused on what as the election was progressing, I couldn't focus on Jesus. As long as I was focusing on how things were progressing this week, my hope was on how things were progressing this week, I couldn't hope in Jesus. I can't do both. Maybe you can. I can't. I can't have the cares and concerns of life that I do have to deal with. I can't ignore them, can't put my head in the sand. But I can't have the issues of life that have to be dealt with on the front burner and Jesus on the front burner at the same time. Somebody's got to be front, somebody's got to be back. When we come together, for the preacher included, when we come together, we remind each other that yes, we have to deal with life. And yes, some of those things we have to deal with are not fun or not comfortable. But you know what the clincher is? When I keep Jesus on the front burner, then I can deal with the issues of life in a whole lot more sane, Christ-like, and productive manner. When I flip it, I get stressed. And I forget Jesus. So when I come to church, y'all help me keep Jesus on the front burner so that when I walk out of these doors, I can deal with everything else in a much more Christ-like, positive, less stressed way. As we gather for worship and we gather for study, it's far easier to keep Jesus on that front burner. And when we gather for worship, study, and fellowship, we encourage and we inspire each other. We encourage each other in our struggles as we're dealing with life, as we're at those doctor's appointments and everything else. It's so easy sometimes to feel like I'm dealing with this by myself. And when I feel like I'm dealing with it by myself, it becomes overwhelming. But when I come to church with my brothers and sisters in Christ, you, I'm reminded I'm not dealing with it by myself. We encourage each other. And as we're reminded we're not walking this road of life alone, we're encouraged. It's not as overwhelming. It's easier to focus on Jesus as we are reminded we are loved by Jesus and fellow Christians. So that, yes, we still struggle. But we don't struggle alone. And we are encouraged and inspired to serve together. Did you ever notice in the New Testament, the smallest group that Jesus sent out was 2 by 2. When we work and we serve together, we encourage each other, we motivate each other, we energize each other. And it's much easier to serve. When we're serving together and not trying to serve by ourselves, we motivate each other with ideas and vision, and we accomplish far more together than we can by ourselves. So let us help each other keep oil in our lamps. I truly believe, as I look out over this congregation, I think of others that are not comfortable being here yet. I truly believe that it's the nature of at least 99% of the folks associated with Walker that we truly desire to serve Jesus. We want to be agents of love and good for our community and even the world. Yet even the most dedicated believer can get caught up in the issues of life. Even in these unique days, we will encourage each other in our struggles. We will encourage each and motivate each other in service, keeping our lamps full. And then if we're surprised by Jesus' sudden return this afternoon, we'll be glad. We'll join the party. And we'll celebrate. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we all want to love you and serve you as we are called. Yet, Lord, we do all have to deal with life. We can't ignore it. It's life. And some parts of life are hard. And Lord, we're constantly bombarded from other sources about the difficulties of life. And so Lord, being human, it's so easy to let you be put on the back burner. And though we would never walk away from you, it's so easy for our spiritual senses to become dulled as our eyes are focused in other places. So Lord, we know that you are a loving God. You are an understanding God. You are a compassionate God. And so you know that weakness. And so we pray and we receive that forgiveness that you bestow upon us for when we have done so. And we also pray that as we move into the days and the weeks and hopefully the years that you grant us in this life, that you may show us how to keep you on the front burner so that we can deal with life in a Christ-like way, so that we will serve others, not just because that's who we are, because we are in you. And if we are still alive, when you surprise the whole universe and you return, we will be glad. We'll join the party and we'll celebrate with you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for the benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. And Alice will escort you out.